Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom.
When things in our lives do not go the way we expected, or when they don't go the way we wanted them to, whose fault is it? You know, a lot of times we build up our hopes, we build up our expectations, and a lot of times we even count on something when it hasn't even happened. And then all of our plans fall apart. You know, and whose fault is that? And what about when tragedy comes into somebody's life? You know, we hear stories all the time. And we hear about people we know and care about that something just strikes them. You know, whose fault is it when those things happen? You know, the interesting thing about us as people is we always look for a reason or something to point to as the cause of our problems, don't we? You know, we've all heard the if-onlys so many times, right? If only I had that job, if only I had that car, if only I had that house, my life would just be perfect. We always try to assign blame somewhere or point the finger somewhere. You know, we try to find fault somewhere to explain why things happen. Because we always think, well, there has to be a reason for this. You know, things don't just happen because. So there has to be a reason for this. And sometimes we desperately search and look for a cause and a reason. And it's because we want someone to bear the responsibility. We want someone to be the fault. We want to be able to look at something and say, that is the reason that my car broke down. So we always look for a place to put the responsibility. I think it's, you know, a lot of it is just our way of coping with things. We always want an explanation. You know, you hear the term forensics so much now because it's applied to so many different things. And now there's all sorts of different forensic applications that they use where they try to go back and reconstruct why something happened. You know, there's forensic accounting. And, you know, in IT, when something fails, you know, we always try to go back and look at logs and examine things and sometimes try to replicate things so you find a cause and a reason for it. You know, nobody likes to accept that something just happened. We're not happy with that, are we? There has to be a reason. You know, there has to be a cause. Genesis 3, verse 9. Genesis 3, verse 9. And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said to him, "Who made you know that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." Didn't take him long to find a reason, did it? And Yahweh Elohim said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." There had to be a reason for what they did. There had to be fault. Somebody had to take responsibility. We all make choices, don't we? All day long, from the moment we open our eyes to the moment we go to sleep, we make choices. We choose what to say. We choose how to act. We choose what to think. What we eat. You know, nobody makes us do those things. We choose. So why do we act as if we bear no responsibility for what we do? You know, people talk about things like fate. Oh, it was just their fate, you know, to go here and be in this accident. And nobody likes to accept responsibility for things that happen. We always want to point the finger at someone or blame someone or have a place to put the responsibility. And sometimes we even invent those things, don't we? Sometimes when there's nothing there at all, we make up something because we need a place to put the blame and to find fault. How many times do people blame their circumstances, their situations, the things that happen to them? How many times do they blame those things on other people? We've all heard it, haven't we? And people justify their actions by placing the blame on someone else. You know, he did this to me, so I did that. Or she said this about me, so I said this about her. You know, you hear people say it that way, right? They're justifying what they're doing. That person scraped my door in the parking lot, so I got out and kicked their door in. People justify things like that. You know, there was a situation that happened, you know, it's been about 3 years ago now, in Nampa. But there was a man riding a motorcycle, had a girl on behind him, and somehow or another, a person in a truck decided that motorcycle had cut them off, and he pulled up beside them and shot them. You know, he decided they were responsible, it was their fault. They did something against him, and so he justified what he did. How much blame does the adversary receive? Hasatan. How many times do people say, oh, it was the adversary was behind that? I know it was Hasatan. We hear that a lot, don't we? But how many things in our lives is he really responsible for? Do we really think he has that much power over our lives? That we are helpless in front of him and he just keeps throwing one thing after another at us? I mean, we've read where he had to go before Yah and ask permission to mess with Job. So, do we believe we have Yah's protection or not? And how many things do we blame and assign to Hasatan that we're really responsible for ourselves? And we just don't want to take responsibility for it. It's really easy to just blame it off on somebody else, isn't it? I slipped up and I cursed and it was all Hasatan's fault. He tempted me. He made me hit my thumb with a hammer. I know it was him. You know, the truth of the matter is, most people don't need a lot of help getting themselves into trouble, do they? And some of us have old habits that are hard to break, and they keep coming up over and over and over again. I know for myself and other men too, because you know, when us guys get together, we talk about things like this. It's hard to stop cursing because it's a habit. I was never that bad at cursing. I had a friend that was, oh my goodness. He couldn't even complete one sentence without using a four-letter word that we're all familiar with. And you know, it gets to a point where it sounds ridiculous, people's cursing. But when you have done that so long and it's a habit, you know, you hurt yourself and oh boy, here it goes. It's hard to stop those things. And so we have no trouble getting ourselves into trouble. But even then, we're looking to put the fault somewhere else. So So why is it always somebody else that we're looking to blame? And I'm not saying that we are never tempted by the adversary, because I think the temptation is even greater and the trials are even harder once you commit yourself to Yah. Because the adversary wants us to fall. And he works at it. But ultimately, we are all responsible for what we do, aren't we? And we're responsible for the choices we make. Genesis 4, verse 3. Genesis 4, verse 3. And it came to be in the course of time that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Yahweh. And Havel also brought of the firstborn of the flock, firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And Yahweh looked to Havel and his offering, but he did not look to Cain and his offering. And Cain was very wroth, and his face fell. And Yahweh said to Cain, "Why are you wroth? And why is your face fallen? Why are you upset?" If you do well, is there not acceptance? If you know what you're supposed to do and you do it, won't you be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should master it. That tells us we can overcome, doesn't it? It tells us we have no excuse for trying to put the fault somewhere else. And if we continue to put the blame somewhere else, we are never going to overcome as his people. One of the first things we have to do is take responsibility for what we have done in our lives, so that we can be forgiven and start a new walk. And we can't go before Yah and say, "I would like you to forgive me for all of those things that somebody else made me do." That doesn't work, does it? "I am so sorry for all those things that HaSatan tempted me to do." That's not accepting responsibility, is it? And it's not easy. But we all make mistakes and we all make errors in judgment. It's part of being who we are. It's part of living in this physical world. This is our kindergarten. This whole world is our sandbox that he has put us in to learn. And there's no shame in being wrong. Why do we feel like that? Why do we feel like it's so shameful to be wrong and to make a mistake? So much so that we would try to cover it up and hide it. You know, I have two brothers and a sister, so there were four of us. And when something happened in the house that one of us did, we would all be lined up and questioned. And none of us wanted to admit who did it. And there's at least two occasions that I took a beating for something one of my siblings did because they wouldn't own up to it. And they allowed me to take their spanking. We go to great lengths to cover up things we do. You know, we have to take responsibility. The only shame in being wrong is when you don't step up and take responsibility for what you did. And I remember Dad telling us, it's going to go a lot easier on you if you just tell me who did it. And I think our Abba says that to us. If you're just honest with me, it'll go a lot easier on you. You know, like it or not, we have to own what we do. And when we try to transfer the blame somewhere else, we make ourselves into a liar. Think about that. We actually convince ourselves that the blame lies somewhere else. And that is deception, isn't it? And not only that, it is also delusion, which we just talked about not too long ago. You are deluding yourself. And the sad thing is, we see that all around us in the world out there, don't we? You know, people think nothing about lying now. It's a way of life for them. People lie about everything. We see it all the time. And honesty starts with ourselves, doesn't it? And if we can't be honest with ourselves and about ourselves, how are we going to be honest with our Abba? If we can't even admit to us, yes, I did that, yes, I'm responsible, then how can we go to Him and ask for forgiveness for that? We have to own what we do. And we do bring circumstances on ourselves, don't we? We like to play the innocent victim, but we all know we bring things on ourselves. That's the truth. Even though we look for somebody else to blame it on, and we know it's our fault, we bring tests and trials on ourselves, don't we? Uh, I've had people tell me before, I have never had a trial in my life. Don't say it. You're just begging for something to come on you now. My good friend always told me, never say never. We were talking one time, and I said, I will never go someplace where it snows for Sukkot. And she goes, no, don't say it. Don't say it. Guess what? A few years later, I ended up being someplace for Sukkot, and it snowed. Now, we forget that Abba corrects us when we need it. Because he loves us. And when we need correction, he's going to give it to us. Because he loves us, just like any caring parent would. You know, do we think we are above correction? You know, should we get angry and upset and say, why you bring this on me, Abba? You know, if we continue to put the blame and find fault somewhere else, we may just keep on repeating that same test and trial over and over and over again until we get it. Till we grow and overcome, which is the whole reason those things come on us. We have to put those things behind us. Those challenges that come on us. Until we deal with them in the right way, we're just going to keep on repeating them. And not only that, it holds you back in your walk. There are things we have to overcome before we can move up to the next level where he wants us to be. We don't just learn everything all at once. It's a progression. I've been in this walk well over 20 years and still learning all the time. It never ends. Here's a funny thing. There are times when we even put the blame for what other people do somewhere else. We make excuses for people, don't we? And other people make excuses for people. Whether it's out of shame, out of embarrassment, you know, when I was growing up and my dad would be drinking, causing trouble, and the whole family would cover up for him because it was embarrassing to us. We would make excuses, put the blame somewhere else. You know, there are people in this world who just don't need any help to be bad people and do bad things. There are people in this world that are incorrigibly evil, and they do bad things. And the blame lies with them. Even if it's somebody we know and care about, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. I'm sure we're all familiar with this scripture. The heart is crooked above all and desperately sick. Who shall know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the kidneys and give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Who can know it? Can we know it? We can ask Yahweh to show us when he searches our heart. To find if there is a wicked way in us and show it to us. Show us as we truly are. You know, we've all heard people say this over and over, haven't we? God knows my heart. That's right, he does. You don't know how true what you're saying is. And he knows when you're being deceitful and when you're lying. He knows you very well. And it's not enough that he knows it. We need to know it and see ourselves for who we are and put the fault and the blame where it belongs. You know, nobody twists our arm up behind our back and makes us do anything. And many of us know when we're stepping over a line. We know it when we're doing it. And that is a dangerous thing. Because when we're doing that, stepping on that line, that becomes a willful sin when you step over because you know better. There's a whole big difference between transgression and ignorance and knowing you're not supposed to do something and doing it. It's like when you're little and your parents tell you, don't play with matches. So what happens when they go to the store? You're playing with matches, aren't you? And you know better. We're playing with a consuming fire, and it will burn. You know, it's easy to get to a place where you don't question yourself because you play the justification game. And you can begin believing that you're more than you really are and that you are incapable of making an error, incapable of making a mistake. And I'm sure everybody in this room has ran into somebody like that. It's a dangerous thing to not be able to accept correction. None of us are above correction. None of us are above accountability. None of us are above falling on our face. We're all one step away from transgressing. But we can set ourselves not to and draw on Yah's strength and his power. We're never going to have a life free from temptation. I remember when I was immersed. I remember the pastor said to me, "So you probably think everything's just going to be great from here on out, don't you?" Yeah, I do. He said, "Your test is just beginning." And how right he was. It wasn't even a week later. Temptations are always going to be there. You know, HaSatan tempted Yeshua almost immediately, didn't he? You know, if we get to that point where we think we're incapable of making a mistake and we're so proud of ourselves and self-righteous, we are really, really in trouble. And one of the things that Abba says he hates is what? A proud look. How dare we come before him like that? We better come on our faces before him. We always need to look at ourselves first. Whenever something goes wrong, the first place we start is here. The questioning starts here. The searching for the reason starts here. We have to search ourselves before we go looking for other causes for our problems. And most people go looking everywhere else first, don't they? Jonah 1, verse 1. Jonah 1, verse 1. And the word of Yahweh came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their evils have come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh and went down to Yafo and found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh. And Yahweh sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was thought to be broken up. And the seamen were afraid, and each one cried out to his mighty one, and threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, and he lay down and was fast asleep. How in the world could he sleep through that? And the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, cry out to your Elohim, if so be that Elohim shall think about us so that we do not perish." And they said to each other, "Come and let us cast lots so that we know for whose sake this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they said to him, "Please explain to us, for whose sake is this evil upon us? What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country? And from what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I am fearing Yahweh, the Elohim of the heavens, who made the seas and the dry land." And the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of Yahweh, for he had informed them. And they said to him, "What are we to do to you to make the sea calm for us?" For the sea was growing more stormy. And he said to them, "Take me and throw me into the sea so that the sea becomes calm for you. For I know that this great storm is because of me." However, the men rowed hard to bring the ship to land, but were unable, for the sea continued to grow more stormy against them. And they cried out to Yahweh and said, "We pray, O Yahweh, please let us not perish for this man's life, and do not lay on us innocent blood. For you, O Yahweh, have done as it pleased you." Then they took Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped raging. Jonah knew that it was his fault that trouble came upon that ship. And what did he do? He tried to cover it up and pretend like he didn't know. "I'll just go down below and go to sleep. They'll forget about me." He thought he could run from the presence of Yahweh and get out of what he had for him to do. And the other men on that ship looked elsewhere for the cause of that problem that was upon them, until they finally drew lots to determine guilt. And it was only after the other men confronted him that Jonah admitted guilt. And he admitted the situation and the storm that they were in was his fault. But he didn't do it willingly, did he? What was he planning to do? Stay down below till the ship broke up? Did he think somehow those other men were going to, you know, get that ship somewhere safely? They were even reluctant to throw him overboard, weren't they? But they threw him over, and then Abba dealt with him. And immediately, the storm stopped. There was no one else for Jonah to blame when he was in the belly of the fish, was there? Then he cried out to Yah. There was no other men around. No below decks for the ship to go and sleep while this was going on. You know, there was a time in my life when I found it very hard to be honest. And it was hard for me to take ownership and admit that I had made a mistake. And it wasn't that I wanted to be dishonest. And it wasn't because I had not been taught to be honest, growing up. You know what my fear was? I did not like to feel inferior. And I'm still hard on myself when I make a mistake. I always have been. When I make a mistake, there's nothing anybody can say that's going to hurt me or beat me up more than I have already done to myself. So my problem in admitting mistake was I just didn't like to appear to be ignorant to other people. And that's something I had to work through and get over. Because it's not the end of the world when you make a mistake. It's only by making mistakes that we learn and grow, isn't it? Even though it's not pleasant. And sooner or later, you're going to be put in a situation where there's nowhere else to put the blame, and you have to accept responsibility for it. And one of the men I used to work with was telling me one of his experiences in boot camp. And one of the things that they got inspected on were their hats. You know, and they have those white hats. And he said they had to sit there and, you know, scrub the bands of those hats and everything where they sweated when they're out on the parade ground. And so one day he got back and he was just tired. He was wiped out and he hit his head under his mattress. One of them, they had, you know, I think three, he said. Well, you know they're going to notice one of those are missing, right? So sure enough, the next morning, they pulled an inspection and he got caught. So then he pulled guard duty because of that. So when everyone else was sleeping, he's out on guard duty. You know, we can't hide things and expect that we're never going to get caught. You might get away with it for a while, but sooner or later, it's going to come out anyway. There was another I guess I shouldn't say where this happened, but one of the places I was working, there was a lady there who was a dispatcher. And as the company was going through a transition and management was changing and we had a new parent company, during the course of moving people around and reassigning duties and things, they discovered that this lady had been fixing her own bill every month and had been going on for years. And I guess, in talking to her and everything else, they figured out that somewhere along the line, somebody had done something to upset her. And that was her way of getting back at the company. But you may get away with something for years and years, and sooner or later it's going to bite you. And you know, the first time that I willingly stepped up and accepted responsibility for something, it was like a huge weight had been lifted off me. It's stressful trying to cover up things you do that you don't want nobody to know. It causes you a lot of heartburn because you're constantly worried somebody's going to figure it out. And when you try to be dishonest and cover things up and put the blame somewhere else, sometimes you have to come up with new stories to cover your other story. And you're always worried about getting caught. You know, a lot of people that commit crimes, they catch them because they are so worried about somebody finding it out, they slip up and make a mistake somewhere. Some people have gotten away with some amazing things, and it was only because they messed up because they were so stressed out and worried that somebody was going to catch them, they would go back and, you know, to the scene and do something else, and they ended up getting caught. You know, it's always better to take the high road and accept responsibility. Always. No matter what the consequences are. One time when I was a sophomore in high school, we had a test in health class. So after we all did our test, then you passed your paper to the row to the left of you. And then the instructor read off the answers, and other students, you know, all graded each other's papers. Well, when I got my paper back, I realized whoever graded it made a mistake. And they gave me a higher grade than I should have had. So I went and pointed it out to the instructor. And he said, "Oh, an honest man. Just for that, I'm giving you that higher grade." I thought, wow, good for me. And don't you think our Abba does that for us at times? I do. The difference with our Abba is he already knows if we're being truthful or not. And it doesn't do any good to try to wiggle out of taking responsibility or trying to put the blame elsewhere, because he already knows. But a lot of people still try, don't they? You know, we know judgment begins at the house of Yah. And why would we think that we would get passed over and not face the same stringent requirements as anyone else? Because I don't see anywhere in the word of Yah where anyone gets a free pass. Do you? Luke 13, verse 22. And he was going through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem, and someone said to him, "Master, are there few who are being saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, because many, I say to you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Master, Master, open for us.' And he shall answer and say to you, 'I do not know you, where you are from.' Then you shall begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he shall say, 'I say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of unrighteousness.' There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov and all the prophets in the reign of Elohim, and yourselves thrown outside. And they shall come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and sit down in the reign of Elohim. And see, there are the last who shall be first, and there are first who shall be last." You You know, it's hard to say, I made a mistake. It's my fault. I'm responsible. I accept the consequences and I will do whatever it takes to make it right. It's painful. And it hurts. And it costs. But that's the life we are called to. And we all want to stand in white garments before our Elohim, don't we? And to do that, we need to be brutally honest. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. You were in Eden, the garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, topaz, and diamond, beryl, shoham, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald, and gold. The workmanship of your settings and mountings was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub that covered, and I placed you. You were on the set-apart mountain of Elohim. You walked up and down in the midst of stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the greatness of your trade, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. So I thrust you from the mountain of Elohim, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your loveliness. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I threw you to the earth. I laid you before sovereigns to look at you. You profane your set-apart places by your many crookednesses, by the unrighteousness of your trading. Therefore, I brought forth fire from your midst. It has devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth before the eyes of all who see you. All who knew you among the peoples were astonished at you. Waste you shall be and cease to be forever. Has the adversary accepted responsibility and admitted that he is at fault? What would the world be like right now if he had? How would Yah's plan have changed if the adversary had accepted responsibility and blame and fault? And he still refuses to accept blame. And he still thinks he is right. And he is not going to quit, even though he knows what the word of Yah says about his fate. And it's all because he will not accept fault for what he has done. We see that same attitude in many people, don't we? Refusing to accept blame. Refusing to accept fault. You know, we have to stop looking under every rock, behind every tree, and misapplying the word of Yah when things happen. We have to accept blame and responsibility and fault and place it where it belongs. We have to do that. We shouldn't have to wait till we get caught and then admit something. Or when you know somebody is close to discovering what you've done and you quickly admit it. But you've already done the deed by trying to cover it up to begin with. Generational curses are real too. And they affect people's lives. But there is a reason for that, isn't there? The blame must be placed where it belongs. And somewhere along the line, someone did something to bring that curse down on their family and their generations. And that's not going to go away until somebody realizes what happened and tries to make it right. And it can be made right by going to Yah. And shepherds are going to be held accountable. And they are going to accept fault for what they have done or not done. You know, there are many people out there right now who will not accept a shepherd. And the biggest reason for that is for what other supposed shepherds have done and driven them off and turned them away. There are false shepherds who have gone out and preyed on the flock. But not all. Because there are called and appointed shepherds who have corrupted themselves as well. And they have fed on the flock instead of protecting them and watching over them and caring for them. They were placed in positions of trust. And they used it to their own advantage. And I'm sure every one of them has a reason why it's not their fault. But Abba knows. And he's going to deal with them. And I would not want to be standing there in those shoes, explaining to him why the flock was devoured under my watch. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus said the Master Yahweh to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Woe to them. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and you put on the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, you do not feed the flock. You have not straightened the weak, nor have you healed the sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back the straying, nor sought what was lost. but you have ruled them with might and harshness. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. Even though there was a shepherd, there was no shepherd because the shepherd was not doing his job. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill, and my sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. You know, that's a very serious charge against shepherds who have abandoned their duty and their responsibility, and instead of just worried about feeding themselves. Even to taking advantage of the flock for their own personal gain. They are not caring for those who need them and rely on them, who trusted them, who looked to them. Imagine standing before Yah and explaining why you devoured the flock. The flock you had been given charge over. That flock you were supposed to protect, care for, and lay down your life for if necessary. Do you think some of those shepherds will try to excuse what they have done? Will they try to place the fault somewhere else? And say, I would have done this, but I tried to do this, but I wanted to do this, but verse 8 of Ezekiel 34. As I live, declares the Master Yahweh, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field from not having a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus said the Master Yahweh, see, I am against the shepherds, and shall require my flock at their hand, and shall make them cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. And I shall deliver my flock from their mouths, and they shall no longer be food for them. Those shepherds will answer to Yahweh for not fulfilling their responsibility and for not doing the job that he gave them. They will accept fault and they will accept the blame. Now, it's not an easy thing to step up and say, it's my fault. It's not pleasant to admit that you made a mistake and to say, I am wrong. It is so easy to point the finger elsewhere and to put the blame somewhere else. That is the easy way out, isn't it? And when we are tempted to do that, we have to stop and ask ourselves, whose fault is it? I mean, Yivarekka Yahweh, Vayishmarekka. Yair Yahweh Panaveleka Vihuneka. Yisa Yahweh Panaveleka Vihushem Laha Shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back his face towards you and give you shalom. L'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into His truth. Shavua Tov.